Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. I'm still in Pentecost mode.
I am, too.
Woo!
I am, too.
Even though it's been a week since Pentecost, I'm still pretty revved.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even get through half of what we were going to talk about last week.
Yeah.
Even I still had notes left over.
Wow. we may be doing Pentecost until Advent. I don't know.
Wow. That would be a...
We've been known to do like a lot of shows out of something we thought we were going to do one show on.
Yeah, remember we did that cross series?
Oh, that was awesome.
That was awesome, man. The Lord kept on teaching
us about
the cross.
We should probably redo that.
Yeah.
It's a collector's series.
Collector's series.
For $499.99, you can buy the whole series.
Of nine shows. That's a bargain.
So we were in Acts chapter 2.
And we still are.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people say they like to go back to an Acts chapter 2 church. Woo. So we're still in Acts chapter 2.
Back in like the year 60 AD?
Yeah. So when the Spirit had fallen there and everyone was baptized in the Spirit and everyone had gotten gifts and all these people had radically changed. So now they understood what Jesus had been telling them. Mm-hmm. They probably understood all those readings that they heard every Saturday morning at the synagogue while they were growing up. They finally understood that Jesus was the salvation history that they had learned about. And now there were these uneducated people who started quoting scriptures, reaching people from different places, different languages. And it, you know, kind of reminds you, and we talked a couple weeks ago from John 14, of when Jesus said, you're going to do greater works than I do, that I did after the Spirit comes. And they're probably thinking, wow, are we going to walk on water and raise people from the dead and do all that cool stuff?
Yeah, I wonder what Peter was thinking about.
Yeah.
So I try that water in the Lord. No, not again, please.
Yeah, yeah. He got wet the first time. And now they did some greater things, greater in the sense of Jesus didn't really reach large groups of people, and he didn't really speak in a language that people in other languages understood. Not that he couldn't have done it,
right?
But he didn't do it.
Right.
And so now here's these guys doing it. Maybe you should reread that.
Yeah, let's reread chapter 2, the first part of it.
Yeah.
So when the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as a fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judah, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God. They were all astounded and bewildered, and said to one another, what does this mean? But others said, scoffing, they have had too much new wine. You always get the scoffers.
Always got the scoffers.
I was going to say, last week, I was going to share this, and I forgot, and I didn't have enough time. But when we were talking about how it came suddenly, the Holy Spirit came suddenly, it wasn't like they heard this little rumbling, and then it was like, you know, like this partial thing. Reminds me when I was at a retreat down in Texas one day, or one time. And one day at the retreat, there was some prayer ministry that was going on, and so the people that I was with, they were praying over me, and they were praying in tongues, and the tongues got very strong, and I felt this force. And then there was this moment of this peaceful grace, and the woman, the one woman spoke a word of the Lord to me, and it was just, you know, the power that was there was palpable, and it was like, wow, I can't even imagine what they felt at Pentecost when the power of the Holy, because when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's strong.
Yeah. And we should point out that it's the same Spirit.
It's the same Spirit.
It's the same Spirit. Like Paul says, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, rose Jesus from the dead is at work in you. And it's the same Spirit that fell on Jesus in the Jordan. It's the same Spirit that fell in the upper room with the rushing wind and the tongues of flame still comes to us, maybe without the rushing wind and the flames, although that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that's sort of not the normal thing that happens.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ever happened at a charismatic renewal or not, but certainly we all, and probably many of the, probably at least three or four out of our five listeners probably have been places where the Spirit has suddenly come on someone and there's a dramatic change in that person,
mm-hmm.
like you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And it may be visible, it may be just to the person himself, but when I got the baptism in the Spirit, it was it happened at a church in Strongsville, Ohio, of all places, and there were two women praying over me, and they were praying in tongues, and they suggested I sit down so that I wouldn't fall, and that was kind of all new to me at the time. And I was thinking to myself, what do you mean fall? Anyway, I'm not going to fall. But
don't worry about it. I'm fine.
I'm good. So, you know, they both started praying over me, and they were praying in tongues. And I went into this, I don't know what to call it, different mindset where I saw what looked like scripture verses on the sides of on a wall, and it surrounded me. And I heard, and I heard a voice of some type of voice say, all this will become real to you. And I thought, wow, all this can be real to me. And I just really just started doing Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even made the Torah class yet. So I was just kind of learning. And then I knew that Jesus was there and he said, tell everyone about me.
Mm.
And then, when the experience was over, they were still praying, and then they stopped, and I was sitting in the chair, totally drained of all my energy, and the one woman said, you got the gift of evangelization, and I wanted to say, I know, I just saw it happen, but I couldn't talk, so I was just slumped back in the chair going, oh, okay,
yeah.
And then she said, now don't get up right away, you know. So I got up and I was staggering around the place. So some people probably thought I had too much new wine.
Yeah.
And this was 9 o'clock at night, so I probably could have had too much new wine, but that wasn't the reason.
It wasn't 9 a.m. in the morning?
No, it was it was about 9 p.m. And I was staggering around this big meeting room. And all I remember was this guy saying, oh, we have refreshments in the other room. And I looked at him like, what are refreshments? Refreshments. I don't want refreshments. I'm just got filled with the Spirit here. It was pretty awesome.
When you have an encounter like that, it's really good that there was somebody there that was mature enough in the Spirit to say, yes, you should rest here for a while.
Yes.
Because God wasn't, you know, a lot of times God isn't done with the person.
Yes.
And you don't want to leave before all the blessing is poured in.
That's right.
You don't want to get up early. You know, Judas did that at the last supper. So.
But what if you start getting pruned while you're there? Ooh.
No, you're not going to feel it. You're not going to feel it. You're under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to feel it. So I think what's really important about that is that as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're saturated in God's love.
Mm.
And you know, when you're saturated in God's love, it it alters. I don't want to also it alters you in a way where you're, everything seems to be slowed down.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
And it's real clear, and there's this profound sense of God's peace,
mm-hmm.
and this profound sense of God's love, and it's like everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so profound, you know, and I think about when Paul says, you know, that you may come to know the height and the depth and the yeah. breadth and the length of God's love. And it's like, our mind cannot even fathom that,
mm-hmm.
nor can we even explain it. I mean, you and I have both experienced this and encountered this love mm-hmm. of God through the Holy Spirit. And it's, as I talk about it, and even as you're talking about it now, we're talking about it here, it's still hard to put into words. And it,
yes.
and when, you know, that happened back in 1998.
Yeah.
It's almost 20 years ago.
Yes.
And it's still hard to put it into words.
That was about when mine was too.
But it's still, talking about it, it's still as if it, you know, it's as clear as it happened that day, which is astounding to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's things I can't remember from yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
But I can remember this. And, you know, in the chapter 2 here, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim.
Mm-hmm.
They're proclaiming, you know, they're proclaiming the mighty works of God. They're proclaiming and they're telling people the awesomeness of God's glory.
Yes.
You know, yes. how glorious God is, how holy he is,
yes.
how omnipotent he is.
Yes.
And, you know, they're there in this upper room in this large crowd, and they're confused because they hear each one speaking his own language, and they're astounded and amazed. You know, yeah. I mean, think about it. And they say, are not all these people who are speaking Galileans?
Mm-hmm.
Because they can probably tell by their accent.
By their accent, yeah.
I know he's speaking my language, but he's got that Galilean
probably
accent.
Probably how they looked.
Yeah.
They were a little more frumpy than the people in Jerusalem.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. There we go.
Their clothes weren't as cool.
Uh-oh. When we get to the gates, Peter's going to go, hey.
He's going to say frumpy, huh?
Oh, Mr. Frumpy, come here. Let me have a word with you first.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll just be happy to be there.
So they are, you know, as we're describing this, they're amazed. You know, it says they were, I don't want to describe this. They're astounded and amazed at what's happening. And so Peter in a moment is going to give a really awesome speech, but there's people that are asking, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And just like what happened to you and what happened to me, we have the question of what just happened?
Yes,
what is
exactly.
this?
What is this?
And I've talked with people who have not had who have not had someone there when they've had encountered the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be pushed aside because the person has no one to talk to.
Mm.
And so this is why community is important.
Yes.
This is why community is so very important. And it's important not so that there's someone who's in charge of it, but someone that can help the other person to grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing of community. A lot of times we get into the I'm the leader thing and what I say goes in a lot of like, groups and stuff like that. And certainly sometimes God calls somebody to be a leader, but, not in that regard because people need to grow. They need to understand what's happening. And with the Spirit, there needs to be a sense of a lot of maturity where the person can ask questions
yeah.
and not be inhibited by where their growth isn't stunned.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, or where it's not squelched.
Yes. And there's discipling going on.
There's discipling, yeah.
Questions being answered. Yeah. And you know, in Book of Hebrews it says, don't forsake the assembling of the brethren, because the community is very important.
Yeah.
It's important for worship, obviously, because you want to worship as a body. Mm-hmm. But it's also important to have the fellowship that's involved.
Right. And I don't want to diminish leadership in any way.
Right.
But, you know, the person that has a gift and is mature in the gift isn't really there to look at using their own gift as sort of say, well, hey, you know, I got this gift too. But they will help other people grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what is needed in the body.
Yeah. And I think you see in this passage too that we always talk about how these guys were so changed, but they're, obviously, there were also physical changes that some people said, they're drunk. There's nothing going on here. These guys are just drunk.
Yeah, you had a couple of scoffers.
So they must have been, I mean, that must have been quite a sight. They may have been just acting weird, walking weird. Nobody ever heard them talking like this before. And it sounded like they were drunk.
I mean, think about it. People are hearing them speaking in their own language.
Yeah.
But other people are saying, oh, they're just acting goofy.
Yeah.
So you have someone attesting that, no, they're speaking in my language. Mm-hmm. I can understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, they're just acting like a drunk fool.
Yeah, that's right.
They're scoffing at the gift of God. Mm-hmm. And that happens in the church today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Holy Spirit was for the disciples in the upper room. It's not really for us. Big mistake. Because without the Holy Spirit, if God's not building the house, you're laboring in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you kind of have to, I think, it's important for people to have the encounter of the Holy Spirit and for people to explain what's taking place.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you don't want to get in the way of, when that's taking place, but afterwards you definitely want to say, okay, what did you encounter? What did you feel? What did you experience?
How many times have you heard people say, oh, you know, I don't like that hand waving stuff and I don't like that music and I don't like that tongues thing. I don't know what that's, you know, no one's ever explained it.
Right.
And people have, you probably know people. I know people that have experienced it at some weekend retreat or some conference or something like that. Right. And then it's not followed up on.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time goes by, this powerful thing becomes a memory. Oh, yeah, I did that once. And it's your point is very important in that it has to be just like the Christian walk is a long walk. It's not a 100-yard dash.
Right.
It's not a one-time thing that is over in 4 seconds or 10 seconds.
It has to be cultivated.
It has to be, there's training and discipline involved.
Nurtured.
And the gifts of the Spirit, the power that comes from the Spirit also has to be developed and nurtured. That's a break already. This is a nice song.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, check out GiveToGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
I wanna be close, close to your side, where heaven is real and death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy, holy.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, Peter says something now, I think. maybe we should read what Peter says.
Finally, I was hoping that he was going to talk soon.
Yeah.
Because it's getting pretty late in the day.
Yeah. And we have to.
And it's pretty late in the show too.
Pretty soon it will be Pentecost of next year. We'll still be.
You can talk about Pentecost for 52 weeks.
Okay? Oh yeah. That's pretty awesome.
So.
And now, you know, as we'll have Stephen read this, like maybe, 14 through 21. But when he's reading this, think about what we know of Peter before this day and see if he ever used to talk like this before.
Yeah, keep that in mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, "You who are Jews, indeed, all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls on the name of the Lord."
So there's Peter quoting from the prophet Joel. He also quotes from Psalm 16 a little bit. But
didn't he talk like this back in...
I never remember him saying that. I never remember him talking about the Spirit being poured out on all flesh.
No, never.
And we don't know how much he knew about the prophet Joel. Like, we don't know if he had gone to a Bible study or if he had some CDs or old tape cassettes from some teaching he had heard somewhere. And he just went in the room and refreshed his knowledge about Joel. I don't think so. And he didn't have time to sit in the upper room and say, "Wait a minute, you guys, I got to get a teaching together because I got to go out there and talk to these guys. So just give me a few minutes here." You know, under the inspiration of the Spirit.
No notes. Oh, my
gosh. This is
all
inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He goes out and starts talking right from the book of Joel. He didn't have chapters, but chapter 2, some translations is chapter 3.
So he didn't go and get a scroll. He just talked about
it. He just talked.
Wow.
And says, this is what Joel talked about, that there would be a pouring out of the Spirit on all flesh. Mm-hmm. And you see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your age. It's going to be poured out on your sons and your daughters. Your young men will see visions. The old men will dream dreams. It won't matter how old you are. Mm-hmm. Still going to get filled with the Spirit. It's going to be on maidservants and men servants. In other words, it won't matter if you're a servant, if you're a slave, if you're a rich guy, no matter where you are, you're still going to get poured out. There's going to be signs. They're going to prophesy. Won't matter if you're male or female. None of the things are going to matter because the Spirit's going to be poured out in full measure in an unlimited way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you're seeing here today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had, probably about every 5 years, they read this passage in the synagogue from the prophet Joel. And now Peter says, what you heard about all these years that Joel was writing about, this is what's just happened here. This has nothing to do with drinking. Although the scoffers were kind of right in one way. These guys had new wine, but they were also in new wineskins.
Yes.
But it wasn't wine that they were drinking all night.
Yeah.
And now they're talking funny and staggering around.
Yeah.
And they've got to go home and sleep it off. This is this outpouring that the prophet Joel talked about so many years before. And it's being poured out here right in front of you. And interesting, too, Peter doesn't debate the scoffers. He doesn't stand and argue with them. He just says, hey, guess what? These guys aren't drunk, and here's what happened. He does this unbelievable explanation because the Spirit's transformed his heart and everybody else who's in the room. They've all been baptized in the Spirit. They've experienced something totally different. And now Peter connects what's just happened to them with something that's in the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Now, the Word doesn't tell us what all the other people were doing. I mean, presumably everybody was doing something. Mm-hmm. The only sermon we have recorded is Peter's.
Yeah. And, you know, he's doing exactly what Jesus told him the Holy Spirit would do.
Yeah.
He'll remind you of all that I taught.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Holy Spirit is going to remind them of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that's recorded, all of God's words, the Holy Spirit is going to proclaim truth. And, you know, the one other thing that I think about is, you know, when, is it Paul or Peter that says, you know, who has known the mind of God?
Mm-hmm. Paul.
That the Spirit even scrutinizes the depth of God. The Holy Spirit scrutinizes, you know, truth, scrutinizes truth.
Even the depths of God.
Even the depths of God. Whoa.
And now that same Spirit just fell on these guys.
Yeah, that same Spirit that scrutinizes even the depths of God is poured out upon us.
Yeah.
Woo. To be in us.
Yeah.
Do we even understand what we have?
We don't.
No, we don't. I'm thinking, wow, we don't even understand at all what we have.
Yeah.
And yet there are people just like there were in the days of Peter. You guys are drunk. You're acting.
You guys are weird.
Acting really weird here, man. Still today, people will scoff at the Holy Spirit because they don't understand it. And you know, it's like, is it from John? Is it John 14 where Jesus says, you know, the world cannot receive Him because they don't know Him?
Yes, John 14.
Yeah.
Yep. The world doesn't know Him.
The world does not know Him, and so. You know, we'd
and Paul
like
says the things of the Spirit are foolishness to them.
Right. I mean, we would like for everyone to receive the Spirit, but the reality is not everybody's going to because there are people that they just choose to refuse.
Yeah. And interesting, another way to looking at this is up until this point, we've had Peter specifically the morning of Good Friday, he denies the Lord three times. Now, when you've been through this experience and you've denied the Lord three times and then you've experienced Him risen, you have to keep thinking, I denied Him three times.
Yeah.
No matter how, you know, happy you are to see Him, how happy you are to be with Him, how happy you are to be reunited with Him, you have to think in your mind, I denied Him three times.
Mm.
Now He's not thinking that.
Yeah.
He's not talking about His denial. He's not talking about His human weaknesses. He's not talking about the things that happened before. He's not talking about the things He said before. So now, as we read through this, and there's more to read we'll get to, you know, he's confessing Jesus as Lord and Messiah, and he's quoting Scripture while he's doing it. And it says he stands up to teach. He stands up with the 11.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, this is a position of authority. You stand up to do the teaching. And he preaches directly to everybody who's there. And it fulfills what Jesus said they were going to do as part of the Great Commission. They were going to spread this good news. And now it's actually starting to be spread with this crowd that's there. And the 11 and Peter stand up and start to preach to these people.
Yeah.
And it also follows and we're going to get to a cool part in the next segment we're going to read. But he also follows the instruction from Jesus, you preach to the Jew first and then the Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a Jewish audience here. So he's preaching, you know, a Gentile wouldn't have known who Joel was, but he's preaching here to a group of Jews. And says, hey, you know what? This is the prophet Joel said this, and now he's going to get into Jesus was the Messiah, and you guys killed him.
Right.
And you guys better turn from, get, save yourself from this perverse generation.
Yeah.
And this is our friend Peter under the inspiration of the Spirit. He's not acting anymore like the Peter we used to know and even make some jokes about, but he's acting like a totally different Peter now because he's been empowered.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he stands up and I kind of wonder what the other 11 thought when he stood up and said, "You who are Jews, indeed, all of you staying here, let this be known to you and listen to my words." I wonder what they thought. Oh boy.
If I think I'll be able to say something stupid.
Oh, geez. Here he goes again. But I think, you know, as you were saying, there were all these Jews in the city of Jerusalem because they were celebrating the feast and converts to Judaism, but those who weren't practicing Judaism wouldn't have been there.
Right.
Correct.
That's right.
So he wouldn't have had anybody who was outside of Judaism to, yeah, at that point. To,
unless
to
there were a couple of Roman soldiers walking
Roman
by.
Soldiers walking by. So he proclaims this. And
he also says men of Judah.
Men of Judea, yeah. So he talks about what was in the book of Joel. And at this point, they still don't understand that God's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, upon both the Jew and the Gentile, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, because it hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
right there in the upper room and right there with all the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So it really hasn't happened yet. Well, we don't know if some of them could have been Gentiles, but that's going to happen in a few chapters before mm-hmm. Luke gets to it. So he, do you want me to read on?
Yeah.
Or, okay. I was going to say.
One more thing we should add is, by extension, we're in that same position. We've been empowered by the Spirit to preach the good news.
Yes.
So we encounter scoffers in our daily lives. We encounter scoffers even in the church.
All the time.
We don't say, oh, well, that guy doesn't believe me, so I better be quiet.
Well, you know, that's a good point, because many times we look to somebody else.
Yeah.
I've seen this in the real so many times. Is it okay for me to use the gifts?
Yeah.
Does this person say it's okay? No, God's given you the gift to use. He hasn't given you the gift to ask for permission to use it.
That's right. Yeah. Who else are you going to get permission from?
I mean, could you imagine if Peter would have said, oh, wait, should I say this to these people?
Yeah, maybe I better be quiet.
Do you guys think we should talk about this right now? Because, you know, they could get upset.
Maybe we should just go out for brunch.
let's keep this under our hat. So
same with the one, you know, I was just thinking as we were talking about this with our friend, the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's talking in answer to these scoffers, just like, the woman at the well had all kind of objections with Jesus.
Yeah.
Some of them Jesus brushes off, doesn't even address them. And the important ones he addresses.
Right.
And it's the same with Peter. These guys aren't drunk. Let me tell you what happened here.
Right.
These people are not crazy. Let me tell you what happened here. And we're empowered to do that by the very same Spirit.
He basically does what Jesus did when he was tempted in the desert. He quotes scripture.
Yes, exactly. It's the sword.
Yeah.
And he's... that same Spirit that inspired him to know Joel chapter 2, or chapter 3 in some translation. That same Spirit brings that out in us. So, you know, Peter says, you know, men of Judah, men of Judea, you know, all of you that are dwelling in Jerusalem, you know, Jesus isn't here anymore. Well, I should let you read that first, but basically, you know, Jesus isn't physically here anymore.
Right.
You didn't want to listen to him while you were here. Not even listen to me. I'm going to tell you.
Oh, man. And he says something very important at the very end of all that.
Yeah.
He quotes the scripture and he says, "And it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls upon the name of the Lord."
Yeah, it's amen.
You know, that's important.
Yeah. Why don't you read there starting in 22? This is good stuff, too.
"You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the thrones of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart has been glad and my tongue has exalted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the nether world, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.
Oh.
Wow.
And that's directly quoted from the Psalms.
Yeah.
So he's quoting, this is Psalm, I think, 16.
And this was without any preparation or notes?
No notes. He didn't say,
that's amazing.
He didn't say, let me run over to that bookstore over there and get a Psalm scroll.
He didn't have a concordance? And
no,
like,
concordance. He didn't have a Greek, there's no Greek version. But this is so amazing that 1,000 years or so before this, David writes this psalm.
Yeah.
And when Peter is finished quoting from the prophet Joel word by word, he then goes to quote Psalm 16 word for word.
Yeah.
And since the Holy Spirit's the author of the scripture anyway, he downloads this into Peter.
Yeah.
So Peter didn't have to memorize it. He didn't have to worry about studying it. He just says it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and ties together King David and Messiah and the power of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
It's awesome.
Oh, I love this song. Remember, check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice you'll reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
See, right after Peter said all that, they played this song.
I know, I'm sure of it. Probably had a CD player.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would have had live music. And he would have turned to them and said, do you guys know any Paul Wilbur songs?
He did?
But I think he might have.
Wow.
Yeah. So he tells them that you're going to hear about Jesus now, and you're going to listen to what I'm saying. He says, you know, heed what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, listen to what I'm telling you, because this is really important.
Before I used to say stuff, but now
I used to like just shoot my mouth off, but this is important.
Yeah.
This is different than what I used to say before. And again, by extension, it applies to us because we have that same message to give to people.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody says, listen to what I'm saying, you know that they think this is important.
Yeah.
They're not like, well, could you just listen? Can you just consider this for a minute? Just consider this for mm-hmm. a minute. He says, listen, you better listen to what I'm saying. And he points out basically that this outpouring of the Spirit's based in the scripture. And also it's a result of Jesus having died and risen. And now that's why all these things are happening. Mm-hmm. And he could have said, I didn't prepare any of this stuff ahead of time, and I didn't spend all night studying the prophet Joel and Psalm 16, but I'm just telling you this.
Yeah.
Because now we're in the days, you know, it refers to the last days, which is the time from Messiah till whenever it's not going to end, mm-hmm. dispensation of grace. So, you know, in the last days, the Spirit's poured out in full measure. Because we know that when he said it's going to be poured out on all flesh, this would have been news to them. Joel said this, you know, 500 and some years before this, and they probably never thought about what all flesh meant, but it means here we are, you know, Gentiles in northern Ohio, they get the Spirit poured out on us. He's poured out on all flesh.
Yeah, you know, as we were reading this, I thought about that earlier, it's like, as they read this in the synagogue every once in a while, would they even have really understood, like, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm going to pour out a portion of my Spirit upon all flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, did they really even understand that?
Well, you know, back at Cornelius' house, remember the circumcised believers are saying, hey, wait a minute, how come the Holy Spirit's falling on these guys?
Yeah. that's true. When they go to Cornelius' house, they're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, then you got Romans dancing around and praying and speaking in tongues.
I mean, think about that. The Roman centurions, the Roman soldiers, they led Jesus up to Calvary.
Yeah.
They were occupied Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
And
Cornelius, as a commander, probably knew what had happened.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus wasn't the only person they would have executed.
Right.
But he would have probably been aware of that. And he says, you know, this, we're in the kingdom of the Messiah now. This is the latter days, these last days. Even in the first part of the book of Hebrews, it says, in these last days, God has spoken to us through his son. Before he spoke through prophets and so forth, but now he speaks to us through his son.
Yeah.
So we're in a whole different situation now. We're in a whole different era now. We're in a different covenant now because we're in the kingdom of the Messiah.
A new and eternal covenant, yeah. Woo. I mean, that's the thing that I think sometimes, you know, when we talk about the New Testament and, sometimes the new covenant is not really mentioned too many times, even though it is the new and eternal covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important because it's the covenant that we all belong to. It's the covenant, you know, a covenant is an exchange of persons.
Right.
And what happens in the new covenant is simply that. Well, not simply, but it is, the essence of it is Jesus takes our place. He gives his life for ours. So that exchange of person really does take place in the new covenant, that Jesus takes our place and receives the punishment for sins that we rightly deserve.
Yes.
But we receive God's mercy and grace because he did such a wonderful, loving thing for us that we can't. You know, he paid a debt that we can't pay.
Yes.
And he doesn't ask for it to be repaid.
Yes.
He offers us eternal life.
Yeah.
It's a good exchange.
But that sums up the whole gospel.
Yeah, it does.
What you just said just sums up the whole gospel.
Yeah. And this is the good news that we're supposed to proclaim. empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is the good news that we're supposed to proclaim to everybody, whether they believe it or not. And if somebody does scoff, which I've encountered scoffers, you've encountered scoffers, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you a word to say say to somebody.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you don't get anything, you probably should just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to get into a big battle with somebody because they're not going to believe anyway. Yeah. They're not ready to believe.
And you can see here that Peter says it fearlessly.
Yeah.
There's no hesitation here thinking, well, I wonder what these guys are going to think of me when I say this.
Yeah.
And we tend to do that now. People hesitate and say, well, I don't know what they're going to think of me.
Yeah.
I better not say that. Just, no, he's been empowered to say this. He's been given which scriptures to quote. We don't necessarily have to quote scriptures, but we have the message that people have to hear. You know, like we always say, there's a disease out there and we have the cure.
Yeah.
So if you want to tell people you have the cure for their disease, that's pretty good. If you don't tell them that, they're going to die of their disease for sure. If they reject what you're saying, well, you've done your part. Like we did that session on the prophet Ezekiel. God says, if you tell them and they don't listen, you did your job.
Exactly.
If you tell them and they listen, that's great. But if you don't tell them, then you're partly responsible too.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't speak the word of God to somebody when he's telling you to speak it, because you're giving that person a message, you know, you got a divine, you have a divine appointment.
That's right.
And you don't want to not give the message.
Yeah.
You know?
And this was Peter's divine appointment right here. Immediately after he's filled with the Spirit. And this is planned from all eternity to coalesce on this particular Shavuot Pentecost, because now this was the new covenant coming in power.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter steps up and he's not afraid to say it and he's not afraid to do what he has to do.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to get the rest of his speech, are we?
I don't think so.
I think we're running out of time here.
I think we have like a minute left.
Oh, boy. Well.
No, actually, we have a few seconds
left. We have less than that. It's the end of the show.
I can't believe it.
We have more notes.
We got more Pentecost stuff. Well, I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, that your heart would be open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to allow him to come into your heart, to renew you, and to make you a new creation in Christ, to proclaim the good news that there are forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Messiah. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.